Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. One of the issues or topics that is in the news and, of course, is a question for many investors is what to do about rising interest rates. What to do? How do you invest? And I think that's a really good question. In fact, it's something that I look at every day in looking at my clients and how we invest their money. Well, I want to get into this subject, and I brought in the big guns, okay? I've got the big gun. I've got a guest on the line with me, and we're going to talk about this because it's a really important subject. So let me introduce Matt Oldroyd. He is a chartered financial analyst, CFA, and he works for American Century, vice president of American Century. Of course, American Century is a very well-known mutual fund family, and the website is americancentury.com. Matt is vice president and client portfolio manager for American Century. He works in their Kansas City, Missouri office. He's a member of their U.S. Value Equity Group and is responsible for communicating their investment strategies to their firm's clients and consultants. And so he's done a lot of work in the industry, worked in investment industry since 1994, and is a CFA holder, which is kind of like the CPA of investments. So smart guy, and he's demonstrated it by passing that CFA designation. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on.
You are very welcome, and I am more than happy to have you with us because this is such a big topic and in navigating what comes ahead, you know, what lies before us, right, is always harder to navigate than what we see in our rearview mirror. So let's dive right in, if you will indulge me, and let's talk about, first of all, you know, we've got, I think most people agree. Now, there's different people with different opinions, but most people agree that interest rates will be higher in the future than they have been here recently in our rearview mirror. It's just, you know, I guess everybody kind of puts it in the category of inevitable. And if that's the case, one of the things that, you know, that investors look at are there ways to address this with my investing, with my equity portfolio or other things? And so I invited you to help us understand that a little bit better. And one of the ways, of course, is looking at the equity income investing. So if you would, let's start there and help my audience understand a little bit more about equity income investing, and then we'll get into some of the other nuts and bolts.
Sure. It's definitely a big topic in the marketplace right now about what do you do with rising rates looming on the horizon. Of course, we keep talking about them rising, but they seem to be defying gravity here this year. But I think you'll see in 2015 and going on a different interest rate environment as the Fed starts to pull back its support to the economy. When it comes to equity income investing, what we do is we're investing about 75% of the portfolio in dividend-paying stocks, and then 25% of the portfolio is in convertible bonds, which are, without getting too deep into the weeds, they are a more conservative way to invest in a company because you give up a little bit of the upside of the stock. But you get a better yield, and then you get some protection on the downside if something were to go wrong with the underlying common stock. So with rising rates, it has a different impact on stocks and versus the convertible bond piece. The good news is that you can position a portfolio like this to take advantage of rising rates and then mitigate some of the risk that any yield-oriented portfolio would have in a rising rate environment.
That's very good. Very good, Matt. Because the big concern for a lot of investors, as you very well know, and it's wonderful to know that American Century is you know, positioning their clients, you know, to address this and deal with it, is how do you construct the portfolio? On one hand, we want that equity growth. On the other hand, you know, we don't want to necessarily go all in as you would with an all equity position. So how do we do that? And you know, a lot of investors are looking at different types of bond portfolios, and the conventional wisdom has been to shorten your bond exposure to obviously reduce the potential impact of the rising rates and the devaluation of the bonds. And it's interesting, and that's why I wanted to talk with you about it. It's interesting to take this more of an equity income approach to you know, kind of hit both pieces without having to necessarily go so short on the bonds.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And why it's so important to you know, think about how you're going to invest in the equity markets in a rising rate environment is because there's a couple different dynamics that could potentially happen. We have to take a, you do have to take a step back and think about this time is a little bit different. We've never been in this low of a rate environment for this long historically. So we're kind of going off of what's happened in more, I'd say maybe more normal environments. But what we think is that, you know, if rates rise, typically you're doing it because the economy is doing very well.
Right.
So rising
that's the normal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what the Fed is going to try and do. What they're trying to figure out is the economy stable enough to be able to pull back sort of this stimulus? And if that is the case and they do a good job of it, which I think they will, you should see the stock market continue to do well and rise. However, what that also means, though, is that if we're raising rates because the economy is doing very well and the stock market continues to go up, that you are getting closer and closer to a correction in the market. So you want to be able to participate in the market, the equity market. It's very important for building wealth for your retirement or whatever your investment goals are. However, you want to potentially have some protection there. And that's what our equity income portfolio is very well known for. It's downside protection. Typically, we're only getting about 55% of the downside in the market. So, and we're also invested, the majority of the portfolio is invested in big blue chip dividend paying names, you know, like a Johnson & Johnson or an Exxon, UPS, General Mills, General Electric. So these are types of names you can have confidence that if there is a correction, that they're going to hold up pretty well.
Well, and that you just summarized, Matt. That's the concern of, I think, many investors in today's market. And you know, this idea of, is it different this time? And I think on one hand, you know, yes, it is very different because of the historic lows that we are coming off of. And on the other hand, it's not different. The corrections will occur, and corrections are not a thing of the past. And you know, the Fed has got their work cut out for them in trying to, you know, balance this thing of coming off the quantitative easing, as you know, and then, you know, making the shift. And I guess, you know, we most recently they had reduced it down to $25 billion a month. Is that the number?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've still got some ways to go, and then they've got to let the market absorb all that. And then, you know, then we go from there about potentially, you know, increasing the rates. What do you think about if they get to the point where they're ready to raise, is that through the discount, the federal fund rate, or is it something else you think that may come into play?
I think it'll be kind of tapering that bond buying program that you mentioned down to zero. And then, yes, it'll be raising the discount rate.
Okay.
And you're very astute to bring up that, you know, the big unknown here is, can the economy... It is doing well, but can the economy handle not having kind of this backstop to it? And I think that's what's going to happen going forward, is that we haven't had a correction in it's close to 1,100 days, meaning a 10% correction or more in the S&P 500 hasn't happened for that long. In fact, I read online the other day that there's been 3 X-Men sequels in the time since there's been any sort of meaningful correction in the market, which is an interesting stat.
That makes this market a mutant market, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And, you know, in some ways, we do think it is. We think it's getting a little bit overstretched. So you're going to pull that backstop out, and then you're going to have an economy which you hope can stand on its own two legs. But then another, you know, other things that are going on are that corporate America has done very well, and they've been able to cut a lot of costs, in part because the Fed has helped them, right?
Sure.
They've been able to lower interest rates.
Finance costs has gone through the floor.
Absolutely. So, but that's not sustainable, right? I mean, if you're going to then raise rates,
right,
a company that relies on issuing debt to finance their balance sheets are going
that's
to
right.
be facing higher and higher costs. You know, so that will start to be a headwind. That's one thing. And the other thing is, which unfortunately has, I think, dominated the market over the past month or so, is geopolitical risk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge, right? Because, I mean, we all know that defense cuts are continue to happen. So our military is getting smaller. And then you get these flare-ups, whether it's the Ukraine or it's the Middle East. And the market sells off because it believes there's something destabilizing happening. And then when, like, we've stepped in different ways in those two different situations and things calm down and the market rebounds. Well, you're taking the stimulus away. You're still going to have some geopolitical risk. And then, you know, you get profit margins for companies potentially, going to start turning the other way. You know, these are all kind of things that could cause a correction to happen. It may not, though. So that's why if you invest conservatively in kind of the equity income like mm-hmm. portfolios, I think that's it's a way to have it both ways.
Now, I like that, and I'm glad you brought it back to that, because that's really the whole point, is that we don't, you know, there's an old cliche, but there's a reason why, you know, you hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst, and this style of investing, which I am a fan of, you know, being able to, you know, to hedge your bets and, you know, look for that income generation with the dividends and then you know, not have to rely so much on, you know, the allocation to the shorter term bond funds, which we know, you know, even though they're shorter term, could still be impacted by the interest rate increases. And you know, one final thought, I want to get your, this is my opinion, you tell me what you think, Matt, is, because I know you're watching this very closely. When the Fed finishes the QE and they get that wrapped up, I you know, we keep hearing with the Federal Reserve and they you know, there are all these rumblings about, you know, various Fed members saying, well, it's coming. It's almost like they can get what they want in terms of expectations by talking about it. I'm just not convinced that those interest rates, that they're going to start raising the federal fund rate. I just don't believe it's going to happen anytime soon after they finish QE, because I think they're going to have to let the economy and the market as well run a little hotter than they otherwise would, take a risk on a little bit of inflation, because they can't take the chance of the economy slipping back.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and that's what I think the skeptics out there are looking at it, going, can the Fed get this right? This is very tricky. You end QE, you let the market absorb it. You talk about raising the discount mm-hmm. rate, and you know what's kind of been referred to as jawboning the market.
Yes, so exactly what they're doing.
And see what happens. Again, it's unprecedented. We've never been in this kind of zero interest rate policy environment. And they've got, like you said, their work cut out for them. You want to engineer a more normal environment with interest rates, because, you know, interest rates, everyone thinks about as you know, it provides a lot of stimulus, for sure. However, it can overheat the economy.
Right.
And one thing we haven't seen, and we haven't really mentioned yet, is inflation.
Yeah. Well, let's grab a break and we'll come back and talk about that. And I would like to hear some ideas you have, Matt, on how the equity income investing approach that American Century offers, how that helps to deal with inflation. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am having I have to confess, excellent conversation, and I enjoy every minute of it. I have to pinch myself to say, David, you're on the radio, and this is just not you and Matt talking about finances, but I hope you find it very relevant, because it is an interesting time period we're in with interest rates and all the things that we've been talking about. Matt Oldroyd, Chartered Financial Analyst, CFA, Vice President of American Centuries. Of course, you want more information about those equity income funds and, of course, their full array of holdings, you can go to AmericanCentury.com. And I'm pleased to tell you that we have worked with American Century in our client portfolios. And so, good stuff. Now, you mentioned the other side of this, this whole interest rate environment we've been in, Matt, and that is that, you know, if you hold interest rates too low for too long, which is intended to, of course, to be stimulative in nature to get the economy growing, that there is a risk that the economy could, quote unquote, start to overheat, which is where you get inflation, which is when you have money chasing too few goods and services, so the prices get bid up. And I made the kind of went out on a limb before the break and said, you know, I think the Fed, the policymakers, are going to let that overheating occur a little more than perhaps people. I'm thinking people are going to be a little surprised by how long they may let that go. So the point of that is that we may have a bit of inflation more than people might think the Fed will allow. So tell me what you think about that, and then how do we deal with that, and is one way to use this equity income approach?
Well, inflation is always a tricky one because it actually has different impacts and for corporate America than it does for the consumer, and so it's a little bit tricky. In general, I should say that investing in equities is one way to hedge against inflation because stocks tend to do well kind of in these overheating type environments, and it's good for companies when things get bid up, right? People are so willing to pay more for their goods, and it means they're making more money. However, as a company too, you also have to deal with input costs, and so if your input costs are going up dramatically too, it can all end up kind of badly for corporate America and then turn stocks around. So there's definitely it's a tricky topic. And if you go back to 2008, think of I used to come into my desk, and it would seem like it was the same thing every day. It was a rerun where you'd see the stock market down and oil up, right?
Right, right.
And I think one of the things that
because the input costs were high,
absolutely,
right.
So,
I mean, $150 a barrel of gas. $150 barrel of oil and $5 gas at the pump. That'll impact your input costs, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not only is it a fuel cost, you realize there's lots of companies, especially companies that use plastics and so on, all have oils and input. It's just not fuel. It's actually resin and things
right.
that go into packaging and so on. So, yeah, it can become very detrimental to companies. And, one of the nice things that we have happening right now is that you may have heard, China isn't growing as fast. And as a result, they're not buying as many commodities. And, because you maybe you've seen sort of these amazing pictures of these ghost cities
right,
that they built
right.
in China. And so they're just not buying as much fuel and bricks and mortar type of materials anymore as they slow down a little bit. That's actually helping the U.S. tremendously because it's keeping input costs, in particular oil, low, which is good for corporate America, and it's good for us as consumers because fuel inflation can be one of the number one things to eat into your ability to go buy goods. So in terms of equity income, the way we think about it is that we want to have companies in the portfolio that can handle sort of this inflation conundrum, right? So you want to have companies that are able to, maybe hedge themselves against these potential higher input costs. They're also able to, because they have dominant market share, able to raise prices and pass through those costs. And so, but I think what gets tricky, and we go back to the Fed and the economy and why it's better to be in an equity income portfolio that's much more conservative and can protect you against a very volatile market or corrections in the market is, we don't know if the economy can handle that, right?
Right, I mean,
if companies start raising all their prices on goods, can the consumer handle that? And does that trigger the next recession? We just don't know.
Excellent point.
This is a great way to stay in the market, but be safe with it.
Well, and it's an excellent point, Matt. And in fact, one of the things you said just really struck me is that You mentioned, you know, the with the oil prices and that being one of the biggest potential components of our experiencing inflation, both on a corporate as well as on the individual level. And one of the examples you gave of a holding inside of an equity income portfolio, you know, some of these oil stocks like an Exxon and such that have dividend, that are paying dividends, that's part of your hedge, I guess, if you will, is if oil prices jump up, you know, Exxon, hey, they could make more money and that can drive the value of their stocks or at least sustain those dividends and can, again, be that hedge when you're facing the price inflation over on the other side of the equation because you're actually, you know, seeing the impact of the rising oil prices in other ways.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in fact, we're talking, we can kind of take it full circle back to interest rates. We're actually, you know, so like, you know, investing in an Exxon or even some energy MLPs that are taking advantage of the big energy renaissance here in the Midwest. But when it comes to interest rates rising, there's actually companies that do very well with rising rates. Banks in particular need rates to go up for them to make more money. I mean, that's a very big source of revenue for them to be able to lend money to us in the form of mortgages or companies for construction, home equity loans. There's lots of things that they do where they're charging interest rates, right? That's their source of revenue.
Sure.
And right now they're just very low, so they're not making as much money that way. We can invest in companies like PNC Bank is one. We've invested in companies like Charles Schwab, who will do much better with rising rates because of their money market funds. They can't charge any fees.
Right. Well, and for our listeners, Matt, you know, a lot of people know that banks' money, you know, they borrow the money from the investor or the individual in the form of CDs and other cash deposits, and they turn around and they lend it. So they borrow at one rate and they lend at a higher rate to people that want to finance. What I'm hearing you share with us is that, and people may not be aware of this, as rates go up, they can get a little better spread.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's called the net interest margin is what it's referred to, and absolutely. And you know, for a bank, those things are asymmetric for them in the way they go up.
Right.
So they're paying you and me. You know, maybe a percent, let's say in a more normal environment for our interest checking account. And then they're turning around and taking your and my money and lending it at a higher interest rate, a little longer term. Well, they actually lend that money over a few times.
Right.
Leverage effect there. Plus, rates go up, they actually get advantage of a higher rate. They tend to take their time paying us more money for our deposits, which that's just the nature of the beast, but that's why banks will do better when rates go up.
Excellent. You're just joining us. Matt Oldroyd is our guest, CFA, Vice President of American Century, americancentury.com. Quick break, we'll come back with Matt.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Oldroyd is my guest, CFA, Vice President of American Century. And we've been talking about, you know, some of the current events with the market and interest rates and also equity income investing that could be part of your portfolio, especially if you, you know, want to hedge against this potential for rate increases and also inflation. And the of course, the thing that makes investment folks maybe have bad dreams, Matt, is that stagflation thing that we had once upon a time. I think that was in the 70s, where you had a stagnating economy and rising rates at the same time. And that's, of course, you know, one of the things that we just worry, or I guess that maybe is overstating it. We get concerned when we see rates that potentially can go up, and the economy might not be able to handle it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And as an investor, I mean, that is, and well, let's just face it, as a consumer, that's a tough position to be in. And in fact, that's kind of what Japan has faced, right? And you maybe even seen some of people have said, you know, is the U.S. the next Japan? And that you get into the situation where the economy is not growing and you can't stimulate it enough with interest, you know, keeping interest rates so low, and then you try to raise them, and all it does is continue to hurt the economy, and you're kind of stuck. I think we've got more going for us in the U.S.
I think so.
You know, I'm a big believer in America and in innovation, and we've got the energy renaissance going on in the Midwest. So, I mean, this is out where we're based, and you know, there's towns in parts of Kansas and Oklahoma that are having their first immigrants in 100 years, as the oil boom has really boosted the economy out here. And let's face it, the U.S. is the hotbed for technology in the world. I mean, we are the number one innovator there. So those are just two things I think that we have going for us that will, help the economy and going forward and avoid that stagflation event. And again, it is going to take some tricky work by the Fed to get that done. So I'm a big advocate of being more conservative with my equity exposure here in the next few years.
Yeah, today is probably not the time to push all your chips to the middle of the table and stand up and say, deal the cards. You know, being aggressive, for the long-term investor, perhaps. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying or recognizing, Matt, as you very well put, that there's some geopolitical risks. There's other risks involved. There's this, you know, I love that we've got about a minute left. If you want to make a comment on with the geopolitical, why is it? I mean, I think you've answered it. Maybe it's because of the demands from China, and maybe some other places have eased in Europe as well on the oil prices. But I always look at that Mideast and I go, why isn't there more of a risk premium? But perhaps it's built in, and just that the price has fallen because of slack, some slack demand from Europe and maybe China.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. If China wasn't slowing down, and which has caused other parts of the world to slow down,
sure.
Emerging market countries like India, for instance, have there's kind of that ripple effect. So that demand has come down. European demand is still, I'd say, down. I mean, we're waiting for that to recover. Unfortunately, the Ukraine and the situation there has kind of been a big setback for Europe, and all the sanctions that have happened. I think we just happen to have some things in our favor with demand that are helping mitigate some of this oil risk. And let's not forget, I mean, the U.S. is seemingly on the way to becoming oil independent.
Yeah, well, we love that.
Absolutely. It can only, that bodes well for the future.
All right. Matt Oldroyd is our guest, CFA, Vice President of American Century, AmericanCentury.com. Matt, we're out of time. We'll have to have you back. Excellent program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.